pray. Father, thank you for another time to come into your word, Lord, and just be with us as we know you will. In Jesus' name, amen. So it's good to have all you guys. So what we've been teaching and going through is the book of Galatians, which is Galatians is the New Testament. And Paul is trying to explain the difference between trying to obey every little law, and which we cannot do, and the grace of God, which is what we're under. Okay, so hopefully it'll make sense to you guys as we go through. But I titled this message, A Life Lived of Faith. I know I have glasses somewhere. Oh, here we go. A Life Lived of Faith. So there's a couple of different ways you can live your life. You can live it trying to be good, trying to be perfect, trying to perform, or you can live a life out of faith saying, I can't do it, but I have faith in the one who did do it. Okay, so therefore, now what does God say about you? Because of your faith, you are now righteous as he is. And believe it or not, some people do not want to believe that. They want to still think they're a sinner and there's something they knew. I need to repent of my sins. I need to do this. I need to do that. And repent of your sins is never found in the Bible. It's repent for, as Bill just read to us, for the forgiveness of sins. Repent means change your mind. It doesn't mean I've got to go over here and cry and be sorry about everything I ever did in life, because you're going to forget something. And if we were depending on ourselves, that's us doing something, then we're not going to make it. So when we repent, it simply means turn to God. See him for who he is. You're not him. He is him. You know? So we're going to go into Galatians, and we're going to go through chapter 6, and we're going to finish it. He says, brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin. You ever been caught in a sin? You guys ever been caught doing something bad? Yeah. Okay. Everybody in here can raise their hand to that one. I call it getting caught with your hand in the cookie jar. Yep. Mom says, I got to go to the grocery store. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Don't eat any cookies because I'm cooking a good meal tonight. And guess what? Little do we know, Mom was smarter than us, right? We think, oh, I'm going to go get a cookie. She'll never know. And guess what? She has counted the cookies. Yeah. And you go in and you get one cookie. She'll never miss it. And she comes back and goes, do you have any cookies? No. And you got crumbs all over your face and milk to wash it down with. No, I didn't have a cookie. There's only 9 in here. Could you explain where number 10 went? So it says, if someone is caught in a sin, you get caught with your hand in a cookie jar. What are we supposed to do? You who live by the Spirit. Now, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're living by the Spirit, not by the flesh. So you that live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. I remember when Bob Coy in Fort Lauderdale got up and said, I'm done. I've become the man I never wanted to be. I've had multiple affairs. I'm addicted to porn. Bye-bye. See you. Walked out. 27,000 member church. I remember going to church the next Sunday, and some of the guys I went to church with, some of those guys were just shaking their head like, how could he do this? How could he do that? I said, guys, he's a man. We're all tempted. We're all tempted. And when you think you can't be tempted, watch out. And how many people have I known that wanted to maybe go help someone that's struggling with something? And they said, well, I'll sit down and have a beer with you. They'll go into the bar to witness to them. They'll have a beer with you. Next thing you know, you're drunk too. And so it's just saying, just be careful. Watch yourselves that you also may be tempted. All of us can be tempted. And people say, well, when I became a Christian, I'll never get tempted again because I got Christ in my life now. Oh, no, you're going to be tempted even worse. Yep. Amen, Chambray? Yeah. And sometimes that doesn't even work, right? Yeah. Yep. Sometimes that doesn't even work. So it's like, thank God for grace. Because sometimes you can surround yourself with like-minded people and try to do the thing, and you're going to slip up anyway sometimes. And so that's when you just got to say, okay, God, you know, I'm sorry. Let's move on. But watch yourselves that you also may not be tempted. And he says, carry each other's burdens. in a way that you fulfill the law of Christ. Oh, there's the law, Chuck. No, not the law of Moses. The law of Christ. What did Christ say? Love your neighbor as yourself. This is a law of Christ is a call to faith. That's what the law of Christ is. It's a call to faith. When you start comparing yourselves, you fall from grace back into religion and performance. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. So he's going to say, here, don't think more highly of yourself than you think, than you are. Don't look on, down on someone else just because they don't maybe see things the way you do. You know, how many times do we like immediately write somebody off because they're a different political party, or they're a different, go to a different church, or they have a different perception of the rapture or Calvinism? We write them off. Can't be friends with you. And so he says, each one should test their own actions. Then they can take pride in themselves alone without comparing themselves to someone else. And this is what us religious, or we're not careful, we'll become religious like everybody else, and we'll start comparing. At least I'm not as bad as you. At least I'm, you know, at least I do more good than you. And we'll start doing that finger pointing thing. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all good things with their instructor. So I put in here as an example the hand of Moses. Remember this story? This is like carrying each other's burdens. Moses, they were fighting the Amalekites. They came and attacked the Israelites. And Moses said to Joshua, choose some of our men and go out to fight the Amalekites. Tomorrow I will stand on the hill with the staff of God in my hands. So he's standing up there with the staff in his hands. And so Joshua fought the Amalekites as Moses had ordered. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. But as long as his hands were up, they were winning the victory. But guess what happens when you stand? Everybody put your hands up. Guess what happens after you do this for about 3 hours? You're like, I'm tired. I got to put my hands down. So people came and held his hands up, because when Moses' hands would go down, they would start losing the battle. So they physically held his hands until the Amalekites were destroyed. That's an example of bearing each other's burdens. You can't do it. You can't. You're overwhelmed. We need to bear each other's burdens. And that fulfills the law of Christ. That's showing faith also. And it says, do not be deceived. Now here we go. God cannot be mocked. One of the most misunderstood passages in the Bible. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Ha ha. Gotcha. What's the world say? What does the world call that? Starts with a K. Karma. What goes around comes around. Now remember, Satan is a master deceiver and a master manipulator. He's a master at it. Okay? And he's also a master copycat. I'm going to take something out of God's word. You reap what you sow, and I'm going to call it what comes around. What goes around comes around without going into God's word. And so what this means, do not, you don't, God can, a man sows what he reaps. Read the rest of it. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap what? Eternal life. So what is he talking about here? He's talking about eternal life. He's saying that sows to please the Spirit is living by faith. Because we all sow to the flesh every now and then, right? We're all guilty of sowing to the flesh. We want to please ourselves. We want what's for us, even if it bothers you. Don't care about you. This is what I want to do. I'm just going to sow to that flesh. I'm going to get really selfish here and sow to the flesh. We all do it. So it doesn't mean we're going to, you know, God's going to punish us, because we know that we're not being punished, because who is a believer can reap destruction? Read it here. From the flesh will reap destruction. Okay, we're saved from that. We're dead to the flesh. We're alive in the Spirit. Okay, so yes, we're going to struggle with the flesh. Amnesty, yeah, we're going to sow to the flesh. We're going to do that. But it doesn't mean we're going to be destroyed. And a lot of pastors misunderstand this, and churches will preach from the, you know, you're going to get back what, you know, God's going to get you. I'll give you a perfect example. There was a king. I think it was in, I may have written it down here. There was a king, I think it's in the book of Joshua, maybe. I'll have to look it up. But he had captured 70 other kings. And you know what he did to them? He cut off their thumbs. And he cut off their big toe. Have you ever tried to balance yourself without a big toe? I haven't, because I've never lost a big toe. But people I know say I've lost a big toe. It's hard to balance. It's hard to walk. Have you ever tried to pick up something without a thumb? It gets difficult. Can you turn a door? What can you do without a thumb? So basically, he destroyed these men's lives by chopping off their thumbs and their big toes. And guess what happens to him? The Israelites go against him, conquer him, bring him in, and they cut off his thumb and his big toe. And he sits there and he goes, I had 70 kings that used to sit with me and eat crumbs from my table. Basically saying, you know, they got the whatever they could get, leftovers. And now it has returned to me. Now that's a perfect example of reaping or sowing in the flesh, getting back what you've reaped in the flesh. But let's talk about this a little bit more. When you're a believer, when you're a Christian, are you forgiven or not? How much are you forgiven, Jembre? Some or all? All. So are we going to reap destruction? No, we're going to reap eternal life. So the difference is we are forgiven. We got to remember that we're forgiven, past, present, and future. And that will blow your mind if you think about it. You mean God is going to forgive me of things I'm going to do in the future? He already knows what you're going to do in the future. You don't even know, and you're going to do it and go, oh my God, I messed up. And God goes, yeah, I know. I knew you were going to do that. It's why I went to the cross. You guys understand? It's why I went to the cross. So he's saying here, sowing to please the Spirit is living by faith. Go to Hebrews 11:6, and I'll read it for you. Without faith, it's what? Impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Whoever sows through the flesh to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. There's your faith. There's your faith. You're going to have eternal life in that. And we have a new identity. We don't reap destruction. This is eternal matters. We're all under the blood of Christ if you're a believer. Amen? So this is not to say, now this is Paul saying common sense, reap what you sow. Yes, if you work hard, guess what? If you work 1, 2, 3 jobs, you work out there, you work hard, you're going to make money. If you work hard and blow all your money on alcohol and drugs, you're going to end up homeless. So yes, this is a principle of life also. If you are kind to someone, what do you think is going to happen back? People are going to be kind to you. If you're always walking around looking for a fight, guess what you're going to get? A fight. If you're always running around being critical about somebody or something, guess what's going to happen to you? You're going to get that critical spirit. You're going to lose your joy and lose your happiness. If you're always someone blaming others for your problems, people are going to blame you back. We used to say, long worm, it doesn't turn, right? So yeah, this is Paul basically getting to the nitty gritty. Yeah, you are, you know, if you go out, what does Proverbs say? A soft-spoken answer turns away what? Much wrath. So people are going to treat you like you treat them. And we go back to the golden rule on this one. What if the world lived by the golden rule? What's the golden rule? Young kids, what's your golden rule? Tell me. You need to know this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. There you go. There you go. That's the golden rule. What if we lived by that? What do you think of yourself? Do you like yourself? A lot of us like ourselves. We take care of ourselves. We like ourselves. Well, what if we treated everybody like that? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You know, wouldn't the world be a better place? So anyway, reaping, when it says reaping what you sow, Paul specifically is taking this into the eternal matters. So you're going to sow faith. You're going to walk by faith. You're going to walk by the Spirit, which means having faith, you are pleasing God. Not having faith, you cannot please God, because he wants everyone to come to repentance, changing their mind and following him. He wishes all to be saved, not one to be lost. Contrary to other false doctrine out there that some people were created for wrath and destruction. What kind of God is that? They get that totally out of context. The Gentiles were actually the ones appointed unto wrath and destruction. The Jews were the chosen people. That's the context of that verse. Now we're all included, and we're all a part of Israel. Last Sunday after church, a guy that was visiting asked me, oh, you believe in the displacement theory? I said, no, Israel is still Israel physically. However, any believer is a part of Israel now. We are Israel. We are actually adopted Jews. You say, so what's your lineage? You can say, I'm an adopted Jew. I don't know if I got an adopted Jew's money, but adopted Jew. Anyway, I digress. So it says, let us not become weary in doing good. Listen to this, guys. How many of you have become weary in doing good? Yeah. Yeah. You're doing everything you can. Nobody's recognizing you. Nobody seems to care. Nobody's like, everybody's like, whatever. And you're sweating, you're working, you're doing all this good stuff, and nobody cares. And we all experience it. It's like, God, it's like nobody cares. But what does he say? Don't become weary. At the proper time, we will reap a harvest. This is about that faith. This is about that hope that we have. That we're going to keep doing whatever God has put on your heart. Keep doing it. Don't let the enemy come in and say, nobody cares. Nobody, doesn't matter. Is what you're doing anyway. I used to have this. I had somebody come to me one time when I was a DEA agent. Chuck, why are you a drug agent? You just arrested somebody last night, right? So another person's just going to come in and take their place. Made me feel like I was doing a lot of good, right? I'm just spinning my wheels. Why am I doing this? Why am I risking my life, kicking in doors, arresting bad guys, when another bad guy's just going to come in and take over the dealer? But what does my word say? Am I going to believe the word of God, or am I going to believe somebody else? This is where we get our identity, guys. Are we going to believe what God says about us, or are we going to believe what other people say? Are we going to bask in knowing that God loves us and God appreciates us, no matter if we get any human recognition or not? Nobody may ever say, oh, hey, Jeff, that was a great job, or Bill, that was a great job, or Tanya, that was awesome what you're doing. Nobody may do that, which is other reason, going back to bearing each other's burdens, we need to encourage each other. The world wants to kick you and knock you down and keep you down. And we're not immune. We're Christians, and we're not even immune to that. So encourage one another. Hey, that's great. You're doing great. You know, keep doing what you're doing. You're doing the Lord's work. Whatever it is, it doesn't matter if you're cleaning bathroom stalls or picking up garbage around the church. Whatever you're doing it all for the glory of the Lord. Remember what Corinthians says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it for the glory of the Lord. So every time you sit down, in a way, we have communion every time we eat and drink. Every time we sit down and have a glass of water, a Coca-Cola, whatever your favorite beverage is, eat some bread or meat or whatever, you're basically doing that in remembrance of him. Because whatever it says, whatever you do, do it for the glory. Whether you eat or whether you drink, whatever you do, you're doing it for his glory. So that, so we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do what? Good to people. Good to people, especially to those who are what? Among the family. Among the family. If we're going to treat people that are not in the family good, then we really ought to treat our own people good, right? We really ought to come together and treat each other good and say good things about each other, help encourage each other, and have that faith that we are not going to give up, and whatever we're doing, God is going to bless that. Paul says, see what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Now, a lot of people, if you speculate here, Paul had a thorn. And he said he prayed 3 times that God remove this thorn from him. Because it was something that was bothering Paul. But it seemed kind of like Jesus prayed 3 times, Father, not my will, but your will be done. And the father said, I'm sorry, son, there's no other way. You're going to have to die. And Paul said the same thing and he prayed, but some people speculate that he was blind. He couldn't see well. And that was what really bothered him, is he couldn't see well. So he wrote in large letters. But anyway, those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Guys, circumcision was a thing they did to males to make them fit in, to conform. So you can think of it this way. If you come to our church, you can't dress like that. What kind of shirt is that? You need to put on a, you can't dress like that and come in here. That's a church that wants you to conform. And that's a religion. They want you to conform. Everybody say the same thing, talk the same way, put on the same smile. Everybody put on a smile. And when you leave the church, you can go back to cussing and getting mad at each other and doing whatever and getting drunk, doing whatever you do. But just for that 1 hour, you got to conform. The world wants you to conform and be like them. Jesus says, come out of the world. I'm the rebel. I'm the leader of the whole pack. I'm going to heal people on the Sabbath, and they're not going to like that. I'm going to do good things. Not one bad thing did he do. How many times do you think, go back to that verse, do not become weary in well-doing. How many times do you think Jesus said, oh my God, Father, they just don't get it. How long do you want me to stay down here? They're not listening to me. They don't believe me. If you would only listen and believe, you will be saved. But they're not. How many times do you think Jesus wanted to give up? You know, so if you've ever been through that, you've been weary and well-doing, you're in good company because you're in the company of Jesus himself. You're in the good company when you're weary of well-doing. Because Jesus was weary too. Don't worry about impressing people is what Paul's saying. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. Don't let anybody compel you to do anything. The Holy Spirit guides you and leads you. Don't let anybody put pressure on you, guys, to do anything that you feel is not right. Pray about it. Pray, God, give me your spirit where I can know what's true. He said, I'll promise, I'll give you my spirit. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. You don't have to be like everybody else and do what everybody else is doing. Because if you look at what everybody else is doing, it's leading to destruction. I told my kids when I was raising them, when I was growing up, I said, hey, if you want to do what God would probably have you to do, look at what the world is doing and do the opposite. The world is shacking up. The world is drinking and smoking and chasing and all this crazy stuff. Just you do the opposite, you're probably going to have a pretty good life. A pretty blessed life. Satan is a liar. He's a liar. He wants to tell you you're not worth anything. I'm talking to you young ladies a minute. Y'all are so valuable. You don't understand your worth. You are so valuable. Do not give yourself away to any guy or any person compel you to do anything. You are most precious and valuable. You got to understand how valuable you are. Don't sell yourself short. Don't. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law. Yet they want you to be circumcised. And this is a whole other can of religion. We want you to do this, this, and this, and this. But we don't even do it ourselves. But fake it. Fake it at least. And you can be a part of us. And we'll accept you. And all will be nice. Not even those who are circumcised. Yet they want you to be. That they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. Ever had a group of people come up to you and say, hey, I want to tell you about my church? Close the door. If somebody comes up to you, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about God. Okay, I'll listen to you. I don't want to know nothing about your church. Close the door. Let me tell you about my church. It's what we do. It's all the good stuff we do. We want to recruit you, and that way, Tanya, if I can get you to join my church, I can go brag. Look what I did. I got another member. May I never boast except on the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. If we're going to boast, guess what we're going to boast about? Who's your daddy? And we are most blessed on earth. Guys, if we get this, we are the most blessed on earth. Who's your daddy? And you got a good daddy, Joy, here. I'm talking about that. And you do, and y'all do too, Oakley, and whoever's a dad in here. Y'all are great men and daddies. But I'm talking about who's the daddy's daddy. Big daddy. Yeah. Yeah. Let me tell you about my big daddy. He loves me. He cherishes me. He's forgiven me. He's washed me clean. I am righteous in his eyes. I am blameless and holy. And actually, we're a priesthood with him. Actually, we're going to reign with him. I don't know how that's going to look. Good. We're crucified to the world. That means the world has no dominion over us and no power over us. Doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted in all things. Jesus was tempted in all ways. And what did he go back to every time he was tempted? Every time he was tempted, it is written. It is written. It is written. Right here. You got to know this, guys. You got to know this word. Because in it is the way of life and truth. So, the last thing he says here is neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule to the Israel of God. And I already talked to you about that. We are the Israel of God. We are. You don't have to be of Jewish lineage physically. We got to quit thinking about physical and we got to start thinking about spiritual. Because Romans 2 says this, a person is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision merely outward and physical. No, a person is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, not by the written code. Amen to that? Our heart's been circumcised by the Spirit. We're dead to the world. We're alive in Christ. It says, peace and mercy. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Amen. And one other verse I was going to read to you guys, and I had it in my notes here. It's in Galatians. It says, so in Christ Jesus, you're all children of God through what? Faith. Right? For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you're all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs to the promise. There's your Israel. Amen. Amen. So we're done with Galatians. Wow. It's only been 3 years. No. Where are we going to go from here? I don't know. I'm praying about it. Where are we going to go from here? What book are we going to tackle next? But we will be in the Word. I saw this thing the other day. It was another social media thing where the pastor was asking his wife, honey, I just don't know what to preach on. You know, I'm kind of stuck in it, and I've been there. I don't know what to preach on. She says, well, you have the whole Bible. Just pick something. You have the whole Bible. And so we've been through a number of books. So now we're going to keep on marching through. And I'm praying about what we're going to go through next. And, you know, it's all going to be good because God is good. Amen. And understand, guys, you're loved. You're cherished above all. He died for us. If you ever start feeling bad about yourself, saying, hey, the Son of God took the time to come down here and speak his word, show miracles, show himself to be the Son of God. He did that for us, to save us from our sins. And that by believing, by faith, we have been given the grace of his Son, Jesus Christ. That's the whole gospel. And that's the good news, that we're going to live for eternity with him. Death has no dominion over us. Anxiety, worry, go away. What am I going to eat for dinner? Who cares? What am I going to boast about? I'm going to boast about Jesus Christ. You know, everywhere I go, it's not about me, it's about him. And he turns around and says, no, it is about you. I see what you're doing. I see how you're living. I see how you're trying to do the right things. And I see your disappointment. I see your hurt. I see it all. And I'm here for you. Pray. God, show me the way. And he will. God, give me peace. And he will. You know, a lot of people take a little pill to find peace. Or hit a bottle to find peace. And that's sowing to the flesh. This is going to be bad news. So sow to the Spirit. And by doing that, you're living by faith. Amen? Amen. Father, thank you for another word. Pray everyone here, Lord, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you, that they come to know you very quickly and very intimately, as you would love them to do. And Lord, we pray for other people to come to the church here and hear your word. We pray, Lord, for those that are sick out there among us, Lord, that you will be with them. You will heal them, not just physically, but spiritually. Lord, that you open their eyes of the blind, and the lame will walk, and the blind will see. And we know that only happens with you. And Jesus, we give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor forever and ever. Amen.